You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover.
Good Friday morning to you. Michael Francis McNamara with you. On a Friday. That's why I say good Friday morning to you. Went to the VA yesterday. Always an interesting experience. I got told a year ago, maybe longer, hey, Mac, go to the, you should transfer your stuff down to Long Beach. There's a VA in West Los Angeles, around Westwood. Actually, it's got the VA in West Los Angeles, like the real estate must be worth a gazillion dollars. So they have this campus, and, so you, when you go through the west side of Los Angeles, in Westwood, you have the campus of UCLA, right, which is beautiful on the west side of, and so if you go adjacent to the Westwood campus is Bel Air, you've heard of that, right, rich people live there, Beverly Hills, right, so if you go to the west, sitting on a freeway, sitting on the 405, there's a veteran cemetery on the right side of the freeway that you see as you drive up the 405. On the left side, you see Jackie Robinson Stadium, which is the home of UCLA baseball. And that's actually on the campus of the Veterans Administration. Yeah. And that campus is pretty big campus, old barracks, kind of interesting when you go there and you look at the old pictures they have framed and up and about. It's on a plateau that overlooks, Santa Monica, Venice, and, which is why, where we built forts and camps, back in the day on some kind of dominant piece of terrain. And before they planted all the trees at that point in our history were used for wood. So there wasn't just a lot of stray trees laying around. So you can see all over, and it's really interesting, the dominant piece of terrain. Up above the VA Museum is the Getty Museum that sits up in the hills there. So anyway, but it's had issues historically. So my therapist said, you should go down to Long Beach. So first real need I've had, went over there yesterday. And, you know, one of the reminders when you go to the VA, for a lot of people, it is a provider of last resorts. You know, if you're a successful person and you've done well in life and you've, you have your own insurance and stuff like that, you don't go near the VA. So who is the VA provider for? A lot of people who depend on Medicare and the VA system. And so it's always sobering to go. And if you're there for a few hours, I had to fast, and then, cause they were taking blood, and then go to, and then hang around and wait for my appointment. And there was about 2 hours between it. And so you just sit there, and it's pretty interesting, always eye opening, what you see there. And, but you know, I will say this, my therapist was right, as he tends to be. He's a, his name is Bill. He's a former, special forces guy, Vietnam, and, was, based at a place called Marble Mountain, and, which is pretty close to Da Nang. So anyway, people were absolutely awesome. I'd never been there, so they had to do all this stuff. My personal history and all of that. And then what they did was they made an appointment for me with a, what they call a VA caseworker that reviews, do you need this? Do you need that? Are you interested in vocational training? Are you interested in anything? So anyway, it's just an interesting little experience. Yesterday. And, it's why the VA is so important. And it's again, because it's servicing people that are not there because they want to be there. They don't really have another option. I mean, for people like me, it's the care is free, right? If you're an OIF, OEF guy, girl, it's free for what, 5 years after you, after you're discharged from the military. So yeah, so what the hell, right? But for older people, it's not. And so, I'll keep you posted on my visit. But it was yesterday, everybody very, very nice. I will say this, everybody who saw me was born outside the United States. Now, I don't know that that's significant or not, but every medical person that I dealt with, was foreign born. So, again, I say that as an observation. I got treated great, but just an interesting comment about the system. So that's going on. I'm still basking in the afterglow of winning a gold medal. That's right. I'm claiming that thing. So, now my friends posted pictures on, Pierre and Linda Lamoureux, the parents of Monique and Jocelyn, posted pictures yesterday on Facebook of them with their daughters and on the ice after the game and all that kind of stuff. And then if you could imagine, the craziness, after an event like that, and it is, if you do a search, I just did a search last night for shits and grins, just do a search on their last name. You know, the move that Jocelyn did is, you know, is named after Britney Spears' song. Britney Spears is tweeting out to her. And you have everybody from the Washington Post to the Egyptian Times writing articles about them. And you're like, the Egyptian Times? Yep. And so, literally unbelievable to see, young people that you know capture a moment in Olympic history and in such an exciting way. And so very cool. So I'm still basking in the glow of that. I've been interested, you know, the president has been hosting. I think it's pretty interesting. The president is, in my opinion, kind of doing something for the public that the media ought to be doing. Except the media can't do it because I think they don't report anymore. They're all biased. You know, Fox has its bias to a conservative bent. CNN, I think is to the point where I never watch it. And that story about the kid saying that the producer gave him a question, and when he said, well, this is not what I want to ask, this producer said, stick to the script. And then he didn't go. That's pretty creepy. And so it's been interesting, I think, and it takes balls because, you know, in those settings, you know, he doesn't know what everybody's going to say. And some of the things that people have said have been critical. Some of the people, things that, you know, you can see clearly they don't agree on everything. And so, but what you see in kind of the respectful discourse that he's hosted now twice, I think the nation loves that. You know, again, we all don't agree on these issues. For instance, the arming of teachers. You know, clearly people are divided about that. But you know what? Again, I think God bless people that say, we want our schools to be gun-free zones. You know what? God bless you. We do. But if the only time it's gun-free is when the law-abiding people are not bringing guns, but there's guns there every time that bad people want them there, that's not a good, that's the world the way you want it to be. That's not the way the world is. And so I just, it's, and it's kind of stunning. Think, you know, I can't remember a parent, that one guy who was angry, I need to dig up the audio of it. And the guy who said in that thing the other day, I'm pissed, you know, my 14-year-old daughter is not coming home. And, you know, he said he was at the Department of Education. He said there was a security guard in the elevator. And so, you know, the airports are secured, you know, are the arenas that we gather in are secured. So all these different places that we do business at have security, but our schools, you know, have very, very, very little of it. And so I think what the president has done in terms of hosting these events in kind of in this free flow forum that he has, I think the one of the reasons, and I'll take it back to the time he did it on with that group of senators and congressmen. I think that's what the nation loves, that stuff, the reaction that I won't say that he gets. But the public reaction to those things is, yes, that's what we want to see. But we don't see that. You know, I guess there's no interest in the media in hosting that because it's not controversial enough. Yet what comes out of it is absolutely riveting. So, and I don't know that there's any escaping. You can want the world, your schools to be gun-free zones. But I'll tell you what, I've got a 14-year-old daughter. I don't want her school to be a gun-free zone. And I believe that the solution is parts of everything that I've heard. You know, bump the law relative to semi-automatic weapons to 21. I don't care. Right? I don't care. But I would make the same caveat for it that I would make for alcohol. If you're old enough to go die for this country, you get a waiver. So if you're part of the 1% that serves in the United States military, you should be able to drink at 18. You should be able to own a weapon at 18. Because if you're old enough to sign your signature and to commit your life to the defense of the country, you're old enough to be a fully enfranchised American. Okay? Because it ain't right to get whacked at 19 and not be able to drink in your country. Yeah, it was okay for you to sign up and go get killed for your country and for them to use your life, but you weren't mature enough to drink or own a firearm. I think that's bullshit. So there's that element, you know, tighten whatever you can do to tighten background checks and improve that database. And then there's the First Amendment shit. We used to have sanitariums in every state. People got committed there that were a threat to the public. We don't do that anymore. They're out amongst us. Everybody's got their rights. Well, if this shit's going to stop, when you go past a certain line, when somebody makes a complaint, then that empowers law enforcement to confiscate your weapons or to impound, not confiscate them, but to impound them until such a time as the court rules that you're mentally capable of it. Oh, hey, you know, the ACLU, you can't do that. They've got a right. They've got a right to say what they want. Okay, yeah, until they infringe on my right to be free. Then they lose that right. My right to be free, my right to be safe. It's not your First Amendment right to threaten people. But we're not there in this country yet. And the whole mental health thing. Oh, now it's good. So there's an element of that. And then there's the third element, which is identifying these people and getting them help. It's the same conclusion I reached in domestic violence. When my two nephews were killed, when my two nephews were murdered in 1996, I did not think one of the conclusions I would have would be reaching out to the men that do this kind of shit, and I know there's women that do it, but it's predominantly men, and dealing with them. My instinct after it happened was you have to help these women that need help, and you do, no doubt. But if you don't deal with the man, guess what happens? She leaves him, and what, you know, he goes back out. He finds another girlfriend, and then she's in that situation. So until you deal with the man, you don't deal with the problem. And so I got sideways with a group because I told them, I said, you've got to deal with the man. And ultimately, years later, they started to. But they didn't like what I was saying. They wanted to build shelters and all that, which you have to do. But at some point, you got to deal with the person that's the problem. And so the solution is elements of all of that. Elements of all of that. And you see that in those roundtables. So I think, you know, the more the president does that, I think it sets a great example for the country that, you know, we can sit down as communities. I mean, our politicians clearly can't, but we can. We can, and we can figure it out. And again, arming teachers, how do you not do that? And again, as the president said, you know, I'm not going to give, like the chef is not getting a pistol. Okay? But if I have retired military people there, retired law enforcement people that are now teachers, you know, or I have my janitors that will go through this training and be armed. And they have to have a weapon on them. Because these things, what, they last 3 or 4 minutes. And that's all the time. That's all the time you have to confront it and stop it. And so to me, the solution is elements of all of that. Yes, identify these people to the greatest extent you can. Get them the care. Is that going to work for everybody? No. If you make these schools more difficult to access, if you make when fire alarms happen, it's not just everybody gush out the door. Okay. It's, you know, some communication that teachers have that checks in with their operations center and says, which way should I go? Before they check out, or a call that gets made and says fire has been identified at this place, move to here, or there has been no fire identified, shelter in place. So the tightening up of all of that stuff has to happen. But if you don't have somebody with a gun to protect students, then and you don't harden that thing, then you are whistling past the graveyard, and this is going to happen again. So, I think that those forums that he holds after these events have been incredibly well received by the American people. And, again, if people that just want to focus on firearms, you're missing the point, man. There's 300 million of those. If you ban assault, I mean, Columbine was done with shotguns. Shotguns. Wasn't done with assault weapons. But, you know, you get, people get riled up, and that's the solution. It's not. There's a mental health component, and if it makes sense to tighten the restrictions on firearms, then do it. And I don't have a problem with that. Just don't do it for when you join the military and you sign your life away that you can go get killed, you get all your rights. You're full up round 21 at 18. Boom. So, anyway, good morning to you after all of that. And Whitney Houston, it's Friday, so she sings the national anthem. Good morning. This is dedicated to the people in Long Beach who I met yesterday at the VA who are working hard to do their part to make it better. And all of them very conscious, going out of their way to ask me if I had what I need before I left. You know, is there anything else we can do for you? And so it does work. Doesn't work all the time, but it does work sometimes. Hey, and they can listen to All Marine Radio. Yeah, I pointed it out to them when they were asking, what do you do? I said, well, I do a radio show. What's it about? It's about the culture of the Marine Corps, and the mission is post-combat-related mental health. Really? Can I pull it up? I said, I don't know. They might have you blocked here in the VA. Guess what? They don't. So, yeah, boom.
Fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Check the weather around the Marine Corps. Cloudy in 42 in Quantico. The home of my oldest son, Johnny Boy. What's up? Mostly cloudy in 70 at Camp Lejeune. Granbury, Texas, fog in 40. Big Timber, Montana. Cloudy in 3 degrees above. 29 Palms. Cloudy in 39, Pendleton. Thank God. Mostly cloudy in 51. Okinawa, dark, cloudy, 63. Marger cooled off. Clouds, dark, and 58. The home of All Marine Radio, it's 49 degrees. The wind chill sits at 47. Looking for a high of only 60 degrees today. 62 on Saturday. And on Sunday, back up to 68, so pushing towards 70. Come on, man. What is this? Joke. All right, we'll check news headlines coming up next. The All Marine Radio Chef going to join us in about 30 minutes exactly, maybe 35. That coming up next. Interesting headlines today, though. I will tell you this. As I peruse the news, you know what's worthy of your scan on a daily basis? Believe it or not. Stars and Stripes. Yeah, no shit. All right, more of All Marine Radio after an explosion and the one and only Bob Nielsen.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled machine anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. .736 here on the West Coast. Time to check some news headlines. You know what? I'll just start with Stars and Stripes because they have the most interesting news today. And we'll get to Marine Corps Times. But top headline in Stars and Stripes today is Trump to announce largest ever set of sanctions against North Korea. The Olympics coming to a close. And obviously, the United States anxious to continue its emphasis on sanctions and tightening the noose around North Korea.
There's been, I want to say, 56 shipping companies and other companies that have been helping North Korea circumvent the current sanctions. So the president's latest actions
deals with sanctioning them. Next headline. Third Infantry Division soldiers deployed to the Korean Peninsula for the first time since the Korean War. The 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team out of Fort Stewart, Georgia, began a 9-month rotation Friday by unfurling its unit colors at 8th Army's new headquarters south of Seoul. Yeah, that's long-time historic stuff. My computer being slow. I'm not sure why. So so they go back to the Korean Peninsula. So news. Another story, interesting story. Putin ally said to be in touch with the Kremlin and Assad before his mercenaries attacked U.S. troops. Yeah, that big dust up where 300 casualties, lots of Russians in there. Remember that? On the eastern side of Syria? Oh, you mean we have electronic warfare stuff? And we were listening? Interesting. Yay. That surprises nobody. Remember, when the Russians are talking, they're lying. They're lying, bad human beings. Okay? The Russian people themselves are like any other people. Right? The people that lead that country? Not so much. Another story. Mattis expected to back allowing transgender troops to stay in the military. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis is expected to propose to President Trump that transgender members of the military be allowed to continue serving. And again, there should be a parenthetical in there or an additional statement in there. Despite the president's call last summer for a ban on all transgender service, according to 2 U.S. officials with knowledge on the issue. Now, the caveat there, as was my prediction earlier in the week, is that they have to be deployable. And if you're non-deployable for longer than a year, we don't need you. You violated your widget status. So those are 3 top headlines out of Stars and Stripes today. Interesting story about a friend of mine who's the commanding general of the 1st Marine Division at Camp Pendleton, Eric Smith. Headline: Marine commander showed personal interest and bias in hazing crusade, according to a court. The commander of California's 1st Marine, it's not California's 1st Marine Division, it's the nation's 1st Marine Division. Yeah, come on, man. The commander of California's 1st Marine Division was rebuked by a military appeals court for his personal interest and bias in overseeing a hazing court-martial. Last week, the United States Navy Marine Corps Court of Criminal Appeals upheld an August ruling that found Major General Eric M. Smith showed a bias because of some of his extreme efforts to stamp out hazing. Quote, a reasonable observer would conclude that the convening authority's ego is closely connected to the offense, and thus he has a personal interest in the matter, a judge said. Last summer, Smith launched a full-fledged crusade to combat hazing within the 1st Marine Division. Nearly 30 Marines were confined to the brig over hazing allegations, and up to 16 were separated from the service. The Washington Times was first to report on the published opinion from the appeals court. Sergeant Jamie Ortiz was one of the Marines caught up in the general's path. On July 13, 2017, Ortiz was placed in pretrial confinement stemming from allegations that he hazed 5 junior Marines and assaulted 2 others. Smith referred the case to trial in August with himself as the convening authority. However, a military judge in August ruled Smith's crusade and tirade of emails to staff and commanders throughout the division to smack down hazing made Smith a biased accuser and not a convening authority. As a result, the charges against Ortiz were dropped. on July 12th in an email to his commanders and sergeant majors, Smith stated, his name is misspelled, in case anybody at Marine Corps Times is listening, it's not Smite, it's Smith. Okay, anyway, and division should be capitalized because you're talking about the 1st Marine Division, okay? You're talking about not about a mathematical function, which would then entitle it to be a lowercase d, but I don't want to be too critical. Anyway, quote, the Marine Corps owns the barracks, not a few salty lance corporals who probably can't fight their way out of a wet paper sack. We're the 1st Marine Division, victors on Guadalcanal, and we're reduced to dealing with jackassery from a few lance corporals who think they're in charge. That will be proven wrong ASAP. We have 12 dead Marines in a KC-130 crash, and these few lance corporals who Hayes can't even pay them the respects our commandant asked for. What part of that is wrong? I'm not sure. So being a strong commander is somehow or other wrong. Smith pushed hard to oust Marines accused of hazing and sometimes acted against the accused before law enforcement and an investigative process started. I think there's another side of this story. Right? Yeah. It maybe the law enforcement process hadn't been completed, but a commander who had done his inquiry into it picked up the phone and told him, hey, here's what happened. And let me tell you, the commander-to-commander chain, pretty quick and normally pretty efficient. That's just my experience. You don't get to command in the Marine Corps without doing a lot of shit right in your career. And when stuff goes wrong and you walk in there and you collect the facts, normally you have credible people because you know this is going up the chain as opposed to, you know, 4 lost MREs. Anybody can investigate that. But when you have hazing, you know where that's going. So the sergeant major gets involved in it. He has his nose in it. And you appoint a very, very squared away officer to do the investigation. When that guy comes back to you and gives you his preliminary assessment, which is normally pretty quick, hey, sir, based on this, here's what we have. That goes commander to commander. Mistreat a Marine or sailor and you're gone, Smith said to commanders and staff. Quote, substantiated hazing cases will result in mandatory processing for separation. In a slew of emails, the general threatened to cut training across the division if commanders didn't act on hazing. In what the appellate judges, that's the French pronunciation, felt was the most troubling remark, Smith openly admitted he was offended by the hazing incidents. Hey, this is so bullshit. Memo to all you appellate judges, okay? This is the military, man. We're not civilians. And calling it out is exactly what commanders should do. So, you know, a tip of the helmet to Major General Eric M. Smith, who said, we're not having it. We're not having it. Their asses are out of here. It's not their right. This isn't, you're not a civilian. The UCMJ exists for good order and discipline in the American military. This is so bullshit. So this is the troubling thing he said, which is calling a spade a spade. Quote, I've just been flipped the bird by a lot of lance corporals, so I'm headed there. So I'm headed their way to demonstrate this is an unwise course, and in parentheses, course of action, Smith said in an email to staff and commanders. The appeals court upheld the firing of Smith as a convening authority and the dismissal of charges against Ortiz. Major General Smith's statement suggested he was personally offended by those alleged to have violated his hazing policy. He repeatedly emphasized that he would show those accused of hazing who was really in charge. What? I'm not sure what's wrong with that. I must be part of the problem. I don't get it. When in charge, be in charge. And this problem that is plagued the Marine Corps. And now again, These lands, these salty ass lands, corporals that have never seen a shot fired in anguish, that are threatening to throw people off the third floor. Come on. And then that conduct bleeds into the Marine Online stuff and all the rest of this stuff where they think the rules don't apply to them. The rules do apply to them, and they ought to apply to them in exactly the way that he's mandated. It should be swift. It should be violent. And they should get their ass thrown out of the Marine Corps. This isn't the civilian world, okay? The rules are not made for civilians. They're made to reflect and to impact good order and impart good order and discipline on military units. And I will tell you what, under Commandant Amos, that whole bullshit about the barracks being owned by them and it's where they live, we don't go out in town and go inspect anybody's homes, so why would we own the barracks? We're the custodians of the barracks. Somebody signs for the barracks. It's ours. It ain't their home. Okay? They might be living there for a short period of time. And again, I contrast that with the way my Marines lived when I was a lieutenant. Oh, Mac, you're an old fuddy-duddy. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I am. But it's about creating military units that go and fight and win the nation's wars. It's not a college dormitory. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people in the Marine Corps that think it is, to include these jackass judges. So, to General Smith, in my opinion, you did everything that you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be a strong leader. And if that eliminates you from being a convening authority, then so be it. Then so be it. Have somebody else be the convening authority. But your job is to stamp this shit out because it drags the Marine Corps over and over through bullshit that we don't want to be dragged through. Now, I'm sure if you talk to me, you said, yeah, I probably should not have, you know, I probably should have kept a low. No, yeah, I don't believe that, man. I do not believe that for one second. You're supposed to be doing that. And all this other, you know, and again, I'll contrast that to what I read yesterday about the standards at IOC. You have General Boehm saying that, you know, we're really not interested in lowering the standards, but we want to get the attrition rate down. Well, explain to me how those things to coexist peacefully. They don't. They don't. And how do you have events at that course that are unevaluated? I don't get it. You know, or no, I get it until you say, but we're not lowering the standards. The hell you're not. So again, in one, you have, you know, you have General Boehm doing political speak, you know, pointing to the ground and saying, that direction's really up. It's not, it's down. Okay, when you stop evaluating events and when you're interested in reducing the amount of attrition, and you do that by modifying the standards, what just happened? The standards got lowered. Okay, then say that. Say that. But here's what I think is wrong and with the IOC stuff. You ought to have to pass all the requirements before you leave. Now, that may mean that you get recycled. That may mean that you're there on the weekends doing shit. But you're going to pass all of them. So if you have trouble getting up the rope the second time, running the combat endurance test, then get your ass out there and practice getting up that rope. But in order for you to lead the organization, not be another person in it, but to lead it, you've got to be able to do these things. That's what we expect. It isn't pass or fail, right? And you get thrown out of the course, but you're going to pass it before you leave. Same thing with all these hikes. So there's 9 hikes at IOC, and now only 3 are evaluated. Well, what about the other 6? I can not get up the rope the second time on the CET, so I can essentially not complete that. And what happens if I drop out of 6 of the hikes but pass the 3? That means I get to, hey, you're ready for the fleet, Mac. No, I'm not. So, but again, I just want to commend Eric Smith. We have too many PC general officers, you know, that do political speak. They do political speak. And we don't have enough guys who tell the truth. Here's what I'm concerned about. And they let it rip. You know, General Smith did. God bless him. Not to get on my high horse. But, yeah, no, you sit here and watch it, and you listen to him, and the picture is him the picture that goes with the article is of him at the Battle Screamer event with the Division Colors was rededicated here recently that I was sitting at. So, yeah. General Smith, go get him. Betsy DeVos, she's the Secretary of Education, extremely controversial. She backs school choice for kids with that are part of the DOD school program. The fact that the infantry officer course lowered its requirements was a national headline yesterday, just so you know that. That appeared all over the place. Yeah. And again, Marine Corps does not want it connected to the gender issue. Make no mistake. This is part of the gender issue. No matter what they say, the whole look at the training curriculum, and again, here's what you had to do. You have people breathing down the necks of the Marine Corps, Kristen Hildebrand and all her and that group that says you're biased against women. So what has to happen, and you have to do it, is you got to look at your requirements and you got to validate them. And then you validate your requirements, and then you look at the training events, and you say, do these training events all line up and support this, or are there some that stand out? All right? And so the pass-fail combat endurance test, is that something that should make or break? Probably not, and I agree with that. But should you be able to do it prior to leaving? Yeah, because that's the level of physical fitness we want you to have to lead the organization. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. Yeah, we want you to be a stud. You can't just be another human being in the food chain. All right, I got it. But that whole process and this review is spawned by one thing, that the Marine Corps can sit in front of the Senate Armed Service Committee and answer the mail on, are you specifically attempting to eliminate women from this MOS? Answer, no. Here's why this is important. Here's why this is important. Here's why this is important. Okay? And so to me, I need to get in communication with people on the down low. I'm taking that for action. Yeah. Mac going undercover. No more stories that I would cover, on Marine Corps Times, slow news day. Early bird, top five stories. One, Matt is still mulling transgender guidance. This is a complex issue. Let's see. We've already reviewed the issue. If there's anything, the secretary is taking time to consider the information he's been given. Pentagon Press Secretary Dana White told reporters on Thursday, based on direction from the White House, Mattis had a February 21 deadline to provide Trump with his recommendations. Mattis has received and considered internal recommendations from a DOD study and panel looking into the issue. However, he is not obligated to follow their advice and is evaluating the issue, quote, through the lens of lethality, as is his custom. He's a lethality guy. Things are at a very confusing moment right now, said Shannon Minter, who is representing transgender personnel in two of four federal lawsuits challenging Trump's ban. When President Trump issued his official memorandum, he ordered Mattis in this memo to provide the president with a written plan on how to implement the plan by February 21. So we've all been waiting. It's obviously an important recommendation on exactly how the plan would be implemented. The Secretary of Defense, after consulting with the Secretary of Homeland Security, may advise me at any time in writing that a change in this policy is warranted, Trump said in the August memo. Let's see. Yeah, so nothing new, right? Everybody knows that the courts ruled that the military had to accept transgender recruits as of January 1. The military has complied with that ruling and awaits the next shoe to fall as the Secretary of Defense is expected. And you have my prediction, right? Right. The emphasis on you got to be worldwide deployable will allow people that are transgender to serve. But if you seek a surgical remedy and you have to go on light duty for a period of years, that we can't use you. And that, let me tell you, in my opinion, that is the appropriate policy. Because if I said that I want to be in the military and I sign up and then I say, hey, I want to some optional thing in my life, okay? And I'm trying to think of something, but I can't. That would put me out of in a light duty status or a limited duty status for years. I want to do that. The military would look at me and they'd say, "Yeah, you'll be administratively processed for discharge. We can't use you, so." We won't use you. You're not a widget anymore. So anyway, so it falls in that category, and beyond the scope of what the military should be dealing with. You're not a widget for an extended period of time. The American taxpayers should not have to pay you to not be worldwide deployable and to then go ahead and pursue your personal goals instead of, you know, what you're signed up to be, which is an instrument of the Department of Defense. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that for anybody. So, anyway. So, film and 11. Task and purpose, couple headlines before we get out of here. And welcome the chef. Here's what the Army's proposed gender-neutral combat test really looks like. My God. How do we do gender neutral? The Army's nascent gender neutral combat readiness test is based on the philosophy that male and female soldiers will have to perform the same task in combat, so they should meet the same physical fitness standards. A service official told Task and Purpose. Instead of gauging what they can do, the test focuses on what the Army needs soldiers to do for their jobs. Quote, when it's what the Army needs you to do, whether you're male or female, has no real bearing on that, McGurk said in an interview. This is Michael McGurk, Director of Research and Analysis at the U.S. Army Center for Initial Military Training. If I need you to lift a 50-pound box up onto the back of a truck, I need you to lift a 50-pound box onto the back of a truck. It doesn't make any difference if you're tall or short, or young or old, or male or female. I need a soldier that is capable of doing that assigned duties and jobs. Army Secretary Mark Esper told reporters on February 15th that he believed that the test should be gender and age neutral. The enemy does not specify who's going to shoot and not shoot, he said. While biology, kinesiology, and other sciences have demonstrated the physiological differences between men and women, combat itself is gender neutral, McGurk said. The ACRT is meant to be a better measure of how a male or female soldier would be ready for war. We're not testing in all the areas and skills that soldiers need on the battlefield with our current physical fitness test. He said the new test consists of six proposed events: the deadlift, standing power throw, T push-ups, sprint, drag, carry, leg tuck, and a 2-mile run. For the deadlift, soldiers lift their maximum weight 3 times. The standing power throw requires soldiers to throw a 10-pound medicine ball behind their heads as far as possible. With T-push-ups, soldiers extend their hands out to their sides at 90 degrees angle after each push-up. For the sprint drag carry, soldiers sprint 50 meters, drag a 90-pound sled for 50 meters. 90 pounds? What do you have to drag that weighs 90 pounds? A child? Sprint another 50 meters, carry two 40-pound kettlebells, ammunition or something, for 50 meters, and then sprint the final 50 meters. The leg tuck requires soldiers to hang from a pull-up bar and bring their knees and thighs to touch their elbows. Some measure of core strength. Okay. Gender neutral. Here we go. We'll see where it goes. We'll take a break. The chef joins us next. More of All Marine Radio on a Friday. Next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.